All right. Good afternoon. This is Community Focus. I am your host, Pastor Melvin Burns. I am hosting normally with my brother Gregory T, who is again recuperating. How do we start the program? What we normally do is we give you the weather, right? So if you stuck your head out the window here in Muskegon, you know it is a beautiful day on the shoreline. A low today of 73, high of 86. Tomorrow we just copy, paste, and repeat. Low of 72, high of 86. Sunday, we have a 35% chance of rain. Low of 72, high of 85. Monday, that chance of rain increases to 70%. Low of 71, high of 80. Tuesday, 70% chance of rain again. Low of 70, high of 78. Wednesday, 45% chance of rain. Low 69, high 80. And next Thursday, it'll be partly sunny. Low of 60, high of 67. High of 79. So a few beautiful summer days mixed in with a little rain that we always need. Before we get to our guests, you know, I always give you my five things, not top five, not five news items, just five things. So my five things on this Friday afternoon. Number one, if you're paying attention, the state budget was due to be passed on July 1. It has not been passed. They have until September 30th before the fiscal year ends. So last I heard and read, they are still negotiating. So let's keep our eyes open for that. County elections this past Thursday. I was looking at the election results. And do you know, August elections, not a lot of people come out. There were more people in every election in Muskegon County that voted by absentee ballot than voted in person. In fact, at least 50% more. In some cases, it was even more than that. So folks are voting, but they're still not in great numbers, especially in August election. But in many cases, those outcomes were determined by the absentee ballots. And of course, those ballots aren't counted until the day of the election, just in case you did not know. It's football season. Preseason football starts for real this weekend. And of course, we're all going to keep an eye out for our Lions and how they do this season. And we all have great expectations, don't we? Okay. The Tigers are still leading. I was in Detroit a couple weeks ago, and that's when they were in that awful slide. They seem to be doing better now. They are still leading their division as we get closer and closer to the fall playoffs. And my fifth thing for today. Tariffs, you know, if you like me, you get a little fatigued on the national news, but pay attention to the tariffs. I saw an article that said billions of dollars flowing into the country. That's not quite how tariffs work. Money flows, but it's our money that we're paying. So we may talk a little bit about it in the future, but do a little reading. Hey, Siri. Hey, Google. How do tariffs work? You know, I did that when I was speaking someone last week. I said the example, hey, Siri, and my Siri responded back. I was like, oh, I don't need to do that. So I have to watch what I say. But do a little dive on tariffs so you have a better understanding of how they work for your own edification. All right. Well, you don't come just to hear me ramble, do you? We're always excited to bring you local news, information, and guests, and today is no different. To my left and on the right of your screen, we have two guests from Muskegon Family Care. I'm going to have them first introduce themselves and tell you what they do at Muskegon Family Care.
I am Kenitha Collins. I'm the Community Service and Patient Experience Manager there at Muskegon Family Care. 13 years now.
And I'm Lori Carter. I'm Chief Operating Officer.
Good. And it's good to have you both here in the studio today.
Thank you.
And I know we're talking specifically about an event you have coming up, but for people that do not know, will you tell people a little bit about Muskegon Family Care?
How long do we have?
Give them the highlights.
Well, Muskegon Family Care is a federally qualified healthcare center that's located right there at 2201 South Getty. We have several services. Some people think it's just medical, but no, we have a medical department. We have dental. We have behavior health, the MIHP program, which is maternal infant health program. That's for our pregnant mothers where they can get services. We have a women's department, Julie Whitty.
She's nurse practitioner.
Nurse practitioner
specializes in
women's health
and women's health.
We have an optometrist that comes in. We have lab services there. You can, and we also have a 301B pharmacy, 340B. I'm sorry, not 301. My numbers are wrong. That's the lottery number. But not the lottery number.
Get all kind of information when you turn to here. Yeah. Get those numbers.
So, not, so if you hit 301, let me know.
2201 South Getty. Yeah.
340B program okay. for okay. pharmacy, which is the discounted medicine program.
Yes, it makes
a prescription program
that's very affordable for our patients. And we also offer free transportation, not only to Muskegon Family Care, but if you're referred then to a specialist, Detroit, Ann Arbor, Lansing, we will take you there as well.
And I ask you to do that because been there a number of years. You think, well, everybody knows. But, you know, we still find people don't know.
It is
people
the best kept secret.
And still, you know, with all the changes taking place at the federal and state level, people are still trying to find reasonable, affordable health care and find options. So we're glad to be able to get this information out to folks.
Thank you. It's reasonable, affordable, but it's quality care.
But quality care. I'm going to admonish you because you did leave out one service. You left out the dental clinic.
And then I did say dental.
I was listening for it. Maybe you did. Okay, I'm sorry. Maybe you said it. That was close to my
heart.
That was close to my heart.
I know. Yeah, you got all your
stuff. He did his homework.
Well, I didn't want homework. I don't want to violate any HIPAA laws, but hey, I'm just saying, I know about the dental clinic. Okay. So let's talk about the event you guys have coming up.
Well, this week is National Health Center Week. National Health Center Week takes place first week or the second week in August, and it's determined on a national level. Okay. And they let us know, they give us a theme, and we honor the days of the week through the themes that they give us for focus days for National Health Center Week. Okay. Saturday is our big closeout day, which is celebrating 60 years, past, present, and future, and celebrating community health care.
Okay.
So we'll have, where do I start? A whole lot of stuff going on at Muskegon Family Care this Saturday. It starts at 12 o'clock and it ends at 3. Okay. We give away door prizes. We'll have free health screening. We'll have free, there's a guy that does sickle cell testing there. We have the colon cancer people there. We have Cologuard.
Vendors.
Over 30, And, and they do it. It's just a lot. And it's all free.
All free.
And we give you food. We give you door prizes, chance to win door prizes. And you get to resources, different resources from the community, not just this community. We have people that come from Detroit. We have people that come from Chicago. We've had people come from Grand Rapids just to set up and give out their free information. So
that's awesome. Yeah. That's awesome. You know, it's what is the theme this year?
It's celebrating 60 years, past, present, and future. American Health Center celebrating 60 years.
So health centers have been around 60 years.
So started as a result of the Civil Rights Act, 1965.
Okay.
That the government said, we want folks to be able to have affordable quality care.
Okay.
And so we are, in recognition of that and the vital work that community health centers do, this is year 60.
Awesome. That's and a good time in our history to celebrate this, for sure. So it's a day of fun, but it's also a day for folks to kind of get some information and get, you know, some kind of quick on the spot
health services. And did you know it's like 5,000 community health centers, FQHCs? I mean, that's a lot of FQHCs.
Part of me says a lot of, well, again, but at the same time, that's not enough, is it?
No, right. Yeah, you know, we can't service them all.
We're fortunate because we have two in Muskegon
Heights. Exactly.
Roughly, how many clients do you see in a month or a year?
That's UDS. Great question. No. It's okay. We see a lot.
And with all those departments, there's a lot.
You know, people drive down Getty, they drive to Hackney, and maybe take for granted, you know. And I'm glad to do this because we want people to understand. I mean, I guess until you have an emergency or crisis, you don't understand, or you get a bill. Understand the value of having these facilities in our community. I think it's a tremendous asset to our community to have you all there. So we want folks to come out again, not just to have fun, but learn a bit more about what's available. And every time we talk, you know, I hear something else. I'll say, oh, I know you guys had that there. Mm-hmm. So I think as much as we can share that information, with the community. We want to make sure we take opportunity to do that.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
And we service them regardless of their ability to pay.
Okay.
You know, yeah. I mean, private insurance as well as no insurance. We have a sliding fee scale that takes care of the bill. So you can't say, we can't say we won't service you because you don't have the money or you don't have the insurance.
Not many places in this world do that anymore.
Yeah, that's one of, you know, one of the first things that we offer, you know, because that obviously is a big concern for all of us.
Sure.
You know, those with insurance for the uninsured. And so to be able to offer those services, we had last month Men's Cafe. And so that centered on men's health.
Sure.
Right.
Sure.
Resources. So at every opportunity, we're looking for ways to remove barriers to care for everyone.
Okay. Yeah. Good. Right. And so folks can come out. It's all free. Going to be prizes, games, food.
Yes.
Great resources.
Great resources. So at the end of the day on Saturday, what does a successful day look like for each of you?
Well, for me, those numbers, when I can see you then signed up to at least see the dentist, doctor, or for any of our services for that matter. So when I get the numbers, I get the people that, well, I just didn't come because I didn't have any insurance, or I didn't know that you all can see me without insurance. I get those names and get those people signed up for that service. And when it comes back to me that they signed up and they are a patient, I'm like, okay, that's satisfying. That's satisfying. So, yeah.
Yeah.
How about for you, Laura?
If we can get folks into care, Kenneth is absolutely right. That is what makes us very happy. Also seeing the smiles on the children's faces. Mm-hmm. We're handing out school supplies.
Yes.
We gave away backpacks at the Hometown Heroes event. Now we're filling those backpacks just to see the excitement to be able to create healthy, whole memories in the community that you live in or that you're coming to visit.
Okay.
Puts a smile on my face.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
And the fact that we try to reach everybody. I mean, I mean, everybody, geriatrics, youth, teenage, I mean, everybody. I mean, not just people think it's because it's right here in Muskegon Heights. It's no, these people come from Shelby, from Hart, from Lutterton, from Muskegon, from Grand Haven, Spring Lake, all ages. I mean, so to reach everybody, to know that our name is out in the community, not just our community, not right here, just Muskegon and Muskegon Heights. It's all around. That's one of my purposes, to get our name out and get it all around.
Get the folks come back in.
Yeah.
Let me ask you, how many years have you been involved? How many years have you had this event in the parking lot?
I've been there since 2013. I started as a lab, as a phlebotomist, ended up lab supervisor, moved from lab supervisor. I've been all over the place, but I won't go through that. But I've been doing this since like 2016.
Okay.
2016 was when I started.
So how have you seen it evolve over the years that you've been doing it?
It went from a weekday, half a day in the parking lot to a whole day event.
Okay.
Taking up two parking lots.
Okay.
Yeah. From, you know, a couple vendors passing out a few things to 30, 40 vendors, you know, passing out a lot of stuff to people calling me, popping up saying, well, I'm just coming. I didn't get my slip this year. I'm coming.
Come last minute.
Yeah. With their own. I got my own table. I got my own. Okay. So come on with your own table and tent. Okay. So it has evolved, and we have, and we're going to hopefully keep evolving so that we get better and better.
Again, recognition of the vital work that community health centers do and that we provide traditional care and non-traditional care.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the whole person and we're a community health center. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So it's important that we're not just internal in the building, but external as well.
Yes.
It's phenomenal.
So I imagine even like for yourself who don't necessarily see some of the clients all the time, it's a good time for you to get out and just kind of interact with folks.
And
you know,
they love seeing their providers.
Yeah.
It's something like that. It just enhances that connection.
Mm-hmm.
It enhances that you care about me, not only in this little office space, but in my community as well.
Yeah.
It's good
That's
stuff.
Good and a little story. She's not from here. She's from Pawpaw, Kalamazoo area. So with her
Southwest
with
Michigan.
Okay, we'll call it Southwest Michigan.
So
we're so nice, they named it twice.
Yeah. So we're in a Walmart or something, and after some of the events, she'll see people. She don't know the people. She'd have met so many people through the events, and it was like, you're Miss Lori. You're from Muskegon Family Care. You had the event. So then she's like, somebody talk to me down. But she was like, yeah. So like she said, it makes you feel good when you reached out to somebody and they know you just from the event. Or you were with Kanitha at Meyer, and you all had 1,000 hot dogs.
200 turkeys. Yeah.
Are you all serving the community again like that? So yeah, those things take place, and it does make your heart feel good when you walk in. They you know, asking about the event or asking about, I saw your boss, and they don't know her from a can of paper. Just to recognize her, yep. I feel like they're paying attention to her. So,
Our board, our CEO, CFO, all of the executive team, just, again, the commitment, it's endless. Okay. You know, there's just this deep-seated commitment. And Muskegon Heights has become my home away from home.
Well, I'm glad to hear it.
Truly has. Yeah.
How much has, I was asking earlier about how many memories you've done it, but after the event feedback, I was telling spouse, you know, I used to work with Festival in the Park, and I used to tell people after that week was over, I hated people for a while. You know, so people would say, let's do this. We should do this more often. It's like, look, it take me a couple of months to recover.
That's
I don't like you.
I know. I don't want to. So,
but, maybe we don't want to have a hot dog afterwards, but we still love people.
How much has it evolved from the feedback you've gotten from the vendors, from the people that participate over time?
I mean, they, like you just said, I don't want to do this. But it's almost immediately, like the Dad's Cafe, for example, once we were done with the Dad's Cafe, the guy from Detroit, he's the director or something over there, and he says to us, that was our first time doing a Dad's Cafe. Oh, this must happen again. Or we're going to do this again. And then we're going to do something on a state level. And we got to do this. Man, I don't want to do nothing right now. I don't want to see no dads. I don't want to do no hot dogs. I don't want to talk about no child support. Okay. So, yeah, he was so excited. He wrote his card down. He wanted to make sure that we stay in contact and that we continue this relationship. Yeah. So, I mean, so much as to, you all can even come to Detroit and do this. I mean, you've done such an amazing job. Just let's go to Detroit. Let's take this on the road, pretty much. It's out there. Our events are out there, and people want to partner. Like United Way, I partner with them now. For our community baby shower, it was we were doing the silo. They were doing the silo, but they came in and they thought, okay, this is what we were thinking, but didn't have the. Not necessarily means, but idea.
It keeps fostering these great partnerships.
Yes.
You know, and so again, you know, many hands make light work.
Yes, yes.
So it's not just this sort of micro, it's a macro connection when we do these things. You know, it isn't just the event for the sake of an event.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's where it becomes so rewarding, like Nita just shared. It just keeps branching out. So United Way then partners with someone, then there's that connection. Yeah. Right. And so it just, it's bigger and bigger and more good work.
Yes.
Comes as a result of that.
Exactly. Well,
it sounds like it. I mean, I was there last year. Okay. And I'll be there. I'll find everything on my calendar for Saturday. But it's going to be an exciting time, a good time.
Yes, it is.
National
Health Center Week.
We said we have two FQHCs in Muskegon Heights. And we're fortunate.
Yes, we are.
And again, we can't say enough more people to take advantage of those facilities and the services that you all provide.
Absolutely.
Again, just a tremendous asset to our community.
Thank you.
Tell folks again, we're going to run out of time here, but tell folks again who you are, who you're with, and look at our camera and invite them out.
Like, come on, Again, I am Kanitha Collins. I am the community service and patient experience. This is a whole lot, and that's her fault, y'all. But anyway, community service and patient experience manager at Muskegon Family Care. And this is my boss, Lori Carter, who is the COO, the coup at Muskegon Family Care, the chief operating officer there. Come on and see us Saturday between 12 and 3 at the National Health Center Week. Free health fair. Yes, and we'll have a plenty for you. I ain't gonna tell you what's there. You come see for yourself.
All right.
Yes. Well, she did such a great job. It's a tough act to follow. But I am Lori Carter. I am the Chief Operating Officer at Muskegon Family Care. And we are committed to health. So please come and see us. Come and see us.
Thank you all so much for being out. I'm going to ask you one question before you go. Two things I think about. One, I know it's not the only event you do through the year. I know you do something with the I just blanked out.
We have the
babies to know.
Yep, the community baby shower.
Community baby shower and then the
hometown hero.
The car seats. That's what I was trying to say.
The car seats.
You do an event with the car seats. So tell folks some of the other events that you go and activities, outreach like that you do throughout the year as well.
Well, a couple of years ago, we didn't do it this past year, but we do a Christmas or a holiday celebration where we bring out the community and we feed them, let them fellowship. We try to get out then COVID tests. Now they have the influenza A and B tests connected with the COVID test. So we try to get those things. So we go out to Culver's and we do, we try to enlighten the people on, you know, it's not just COVID anymore, but the influenza A and B. And we work out there, and in return, they sponsor us or give us a little something for our next event. So we go out there and we do that event. We do the Hometown Heroes where we bring Anthony Bradford in and then any of his constituents or people that he know or some people that might have heard about it like it did last year. These people just said, we heard you all were doing this, and they just started coming. A guy that created the Madden Game 25, he was there, and then we had Kurt Adams. So we had those people come in, and we do that, and we give kids book bags and all kinds of things for that, and that's also free. Everything we do, we try to make it that it's affordable, free for our community, because everybody just don't have it. They don't have it. So we try to make sure that we're providing good health care and good community service when we're out there, and we try to make sure that it's not just an event. Something's going on health-wise, and some knowledge is being given to the people for resources.
Yeah. You say knowledge being given to the people. I saw an article the other day. It said there were 20-something cases of measles in Michigan. And this is a summer before kids are starting interacting school. So much misinformation out there, even about vaccines, those things. You guys provide a vital role for parents going beyond Google to do their medical research, but getting accurate information about these vaccines, the shots, and how safe they are.
Yes. We have an M specialist, Bobby Jo, who's amazing at her job. I mean, and you can call her at any time. She drops what she's doing to make sure that you know, have the accurate information, and to get your MICR forms. And if you don't have your slip, your MICR information, that's your immunization record, she can contact and get it from just about anywhere, just by a click of a, you know, people have to go, I have to go to the health department, I have to go do this, I have to go there. If you come there, Bobby pulls it right up.
So kids going back to school, they need those records.
Yep, they'll be.
Kids participating in fall sports need their sports physicals.
Which we provide as well. At a discount.
Okay, awesome. So all those things, I don't do them anymore, but they're coming back to mind, you know, the currency, immunization.
All of those things, when you think about when you start your children back to school, the cost.
Yes.
From supplies, vaccinations, school physicals, all of it. You know, it
adds up, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. It does.
So you guys provide an alternative for them.
We try.
And then the health department will be there this year to assist Bobby with the M's.
And the education.
Yeah.
That's
great. Ladies, thank you so much for joining us. Hopefully people are hearing this and seeing this, and they will, you'll have a great turnout. I'll look to see. Nobody gonna be the dunk tank Saturday?
Oh, nobody.
No, we actually had the dunk tank this year.
Just check it and see if no dunk tank. Okay, you don't actually have it.
They had it this year.
So. Yeah, we'll have like rock climbing. We got laser tag. We got a couple rides. We got like five.
I might just throw a water balloon at you.
Hey, it'd be hot enough. I'm gonna receive it too. It's supposed to be hot enough. I will receive it this time.
Kanitha, Lori, thank you all so much for joining us today here on Community Focus. Look forward to seeing you out there Saturday, 12 to 3. I hope folks in Muskegon come out, and Muskegon and surrounding areas come out, have a good time, gain some great information. Okay,
that's right.
All right, folks, this is 103.7 The Beat Community Focus. We're going to take a slight break, and we come back, we will have our next guest for the afternoon. Okay. All right. Good afternoon. We're back here at Community Focus. Did I mention this is live? Okay. Our next guest here today, here to talk about an exciting event taking place, a movie here in Muskegon called Old Heart. And I have with me today, I'm going to have my guests introduce themselves.
Okay. Hi, everyone. My name is Dakaya Covington.
And
I'm Kirk Wahamaki.
Kirk Wahamaki, I'm glad I had you introduce yourself. I'd have really messed that up. Okay. So, Old Heart, the movie. Tell me what this is and what's going on here.
Well, it's from a book, and the book was written by Peter Ferry, who was a teacher in Chicago. Okay. And he did a lot of traveling and everything in travel. It's about a relationship that takes place in the Netherlands. Okay. Tom is an African American in the Red Ball Express.
Okay.
And he has a relationship with a girl from the Netherlands, a Dutch girl.
Okay.
And we see that in history and things. Tom was in the Red Ball Express. And then after his wife dies and he's much older and has his kids and everything, he goes back to find her.
Oh, okay.
Interesting. And it's a wonderful story about aging, racism,
love, family dynamics.
Yeah.
So this movie is set in around what years? This
is set around... God.
1944.
Yes, 1944, and then 2006.
2006 is when he goes.
Is when he goes back.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, where was the movie filmed?
Well, it was filmed here and in the Netherlands. Oh, so we had a crew in the Netherlands who filmed a lot of our scenery and outside of buildings and people going into buildings and stuff. So a lot of the imagery of what was going on in the Netherlands is actual Netherlands things that we had a film crew on.
Okay. Now I was looking at the cast and I see names I recognize.
Oh, yeah.
a few names I recognize on here. I don't want to single anybody, but you all know who you are that I know. So how did you go about the process of selecting the cast and what made you decide to do this here in Muskegon?
Well, Roger, who is the producer, this is my third film with Roger. Mm-hmm. We've made a number of other films about different things here, and Roger wanted to do this here, and we've done them all here. And,
okay.
And working, but this is, in my humble opinion, as director, this is the best thing we've done. It's really, really good and really timely. And really wonderful. And the cast is absolutely fabulous. Absolutely fabulous. Okay.
So, Ms. Covington.
Yes, sir.
You're in the cast.
Yes, sir.
What role do you play?
My character is Christina Panko Johnson. That is old Tom's daughter.
Okay.
She is very concerned about her father as he ages. Okay. And she wants what's best for him. Okay. But sometimes she may overstep her boundaries in the next phase of his life and the narrative he wants for his life.
Okay.
So you get to see her character and how she responds to his journey in this movie.
Okay. So have you done some acting prior to this?
A little bit. I dabble.
Okay.
I've done a little bit of theater, mostly with Muskegon Civic Theater.
Okay.
And I've worked with Kirk a lot in a few of productions. I've done a few commercials here and there and a little bit of theater for some people from Grand Rapids area.
Okay, so I'm going to put a wall between you and Kirk right now.
Sure.
Tell me what was the experience like with the cast?
I didn't get to work with everyone, but most of the time, the people that I did work with, it was a good experience. It was, for me, it was a learning experience.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of behind the scenes things, a lot of, far as camera angles and stuff, but most importantly, a lot of what Kirk's vision was, like to try to see it from his angle and how he kind of saw moments where the cast connected or moments in the movie where he thought those played a huge role in how we perceived. So he did a good job in directing us and making sure we were conveying the thought that Mr. Ferry tried to convey here.
Okay. whet your appetite to want to do more?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that's really why I got started. I wanted to see what the process is like. Mm-hmm. Even though I have a small but significant role, I got to, see the onset things and how repetitive things have to go for things to be smoothly at the end to see the mm-hmm. outcome, you know.
Mm-hmm. We're talking about when is the showing of the movie?
Well, August 10th and August 17th. Okay. August 10th is at Mona Shores High School.
Okay.
And any adult can bring a minor mm-hmm. for free. So
okay.
only the adult has to pay.
Okay.
It's at 3 o'clock at Mona Shores High School. And then it's at the Wealthy Theater in Grand Rapids. Okay. The 17th, the following Sunday at 3 o'clock as well. And the same thing goes there. Any adult can bring a minor for free. So okay. as long as they,
so what made you choose this novel to make a movie out of?
Well, Roger's really the one that started. We started 4 years ago mm-hmm. and, Roger wanted to write a play. And so we did, and we premiered it in Detroit. And that's where Ed Gaines, who plays Old Tom, the lead, that's where we found him. And it was directed there. And it was good. And we were like, but it needed refining. So about a year later, we did again performed it here at Muskegon Community College with a different cast, except for Ed, I think.
Okay.
Ed and...
Mr.
Yes.
Roosevelt.
Yeah, Mr. Roosevelt, who's yes. plays an attorney in it. We redid it then, and we fixed a lot of the problems that we had with the original script. And then I kept telling Roger and Leslie, my co-director, who helped us, we kept telling them, no, it's a movie. It's a movie. We got to make a movie of this because it really fills in all the stuff we could not really do well on stage. Now, some of the interesting things about when you do a movie and when you do a play, everybody's there. So everybody knows everybody. Mm-hmm. So it was funny because at the premiere, when we premiered it, we brought all the cast in and they're going, I didn't know you were in this.
That's funny.
Because, yeah. you know, you film in small segments yeah. without people. And sure. it's a very different process than doing a play.
So when did you do the premiere and the whole cast saw the movie? When was that?
That was, oh gosh.
Well, for me, it was a few premieres prior in Detroit, I believe.
Okay. Yeah, Detroit one, yeah.
Yeah, but at the premiere here in Muskegon, I believe it was June 1st.
Yeah, it was June 1st, yeah.
Sure, okay. It was really the outcome, and that was yeah. when we got to see everybody
yeah.
and sat on stage, answered questions from the crowd, and it was interesting to interact with everyone to see how they... you know, the feedback from the movie, how they viewed it.
Yeah.
So what was it like the first time you saw yourself on that screen?
Awesome. It was so, like, it was surreal a little bit. You uh-huh. know, like, you think about things like that if you're interested, you know, acting or something. Uh-huh. And I didn't know that I would be partaking in this project, but I was with my grandmother, and it was odd. You know, I always go to the movies, uh-huh. and I pre-select my seat, and I'm like, I'm going to see me. I would want to see me. Okay. But it was a wonderful experience. I like, you know, the idea of it, but I didn't even feel like it was.
So what did your grandmother say?
Oh, I see her eyes light up. She's like, that was the one movie I didn't go to sleep on. She was like, I made sure. So you kind of have to watch it from top to bottom to actually uh-huh. see me in the film.
Okay. Yeah. Well, grandma approved that.
Oh, yeah, she loved it. She really adored it. Yeah.
So let me ask you this question. And stop. Call your question. Did you read the novel? Did you go back and read the novel?
No, I haven't read the novel.
And I hear sometimes people yeah. will, sometimes they won't, because you want to.
But I do. I do want to read the novel. Yeah. I plan on purchasing it yeah. and finishing it up. Okay. So that's something that I'm interested in. But I read the script, and the script was something that was powerful, and it was profound to me. It really resonated.
It's very interesting. Peter Ferry. Peter passed away
okay.
the day before we started filming. But he saw both play productions with us, and the play this book that he wrote did not have an African-American character in it.
Okay.
And that was something that came up with Roger and his wife thought about it. And, they talked about it, and it was like, oh yeah, this has to be It really has to be. It just broadens the story so much and brings it so much into today. And Peter went, oh, why didn't I think of this? So he was very excited.
That's good.
And his wife has been at both of our premieres. In fact, in Indianapolis at the Can-Can Theater, where we had a showing there, it was his whole family. A lot of his family was there as well. And then in Chicago, we did it at, I can't remember the name of the little theater up there, but again, it was a fundraiser for the Writers Guild in Chicago, who they knew Peter was a part of and stuff.
We don't give any spoilers out, but for some of the audiences where you've had a chance to get feedback, what are some of the things you can share about some of the comments you got from the audience?
The one thing that stuck out the most was the comments about the cinematography. Mm-hmm. Honestly, compared to most of the movies, the major motion pictures you see, I think it compares very, like, it's, you know, a strong comparison. You wouldn't even know the difference, I would say. But it was, that was one of the comments that stuck out, and it's true. It's a really lovely and a beautiful film to really watch, you know. But they also commented on the aspect of being a veteran, you know. It speaks to a lot mm-hmm. of that. And people who served.
Kirk, I know you're the director. Why don't we give a shout out to some of the other people that helped make this movie possible?
Well, Roger, obviously our producer and screenplay writer, Peter Ferry, then our Jean Gamache, who was our editor, who is in California and does editing. I mean, we were edited in Hollywood, okay. So mm-hmm. by a Hollywood editor mm-hmm. Who has lots of and. Our composer.
I'm sorry. I asked you, Cole.
Yeah, I know. But you know, everybody. If mm-hmm. if you stand in, this is one of the things when we have talkbacks after the film. Most theaters will turn the lights on the minute the credits start to roll, and I always go, no, stop. We're not going to start talking until everybody gets to read all those credits, because every single one of those mm-hmm. 140 people. On that thing did something to make this project possible. Uh-huh. And, you know, obviously Leslie Witt is the other one that I really want to thank, who is my co-director.
Okay.
David Darling, who is our chief cinematographer, Tyler Q, Joslyn, who was our other cameraman, our crew in the Netherlands, who did all our Netherlands shooting, and I'm missing somebody, but I'm missing a lot of people. But and the cast. All of the cast.
Okay.
Oh, and Zanetta Adams, who, Zanetta, I don't know if you know Zanetta.
Yes.
Okay, well, Zanetta was just fabulous and has been really helpful with not only us getting into the veteran issues and everything, but bringing this to a lot of people that we probably couldn't have gotten it to without her experience with the Veterans Administration and working for the federal government and stuff.
Okay. Awesome. Now you mentioned you've done several of the projects and they've all been here in Muskegon.
Yes.
Okay. What are some of the other projects?
The one before this was Coming Up for Air, mm-hmm. Which was a film about the stress of being in college and suicide, or attempting suicide, and the stress of sports on young college students and mm-hmm. stuff, and also about a single mother not having the means to supply for her child and stuff. It's again a love story though.
yeah.
And then Roger did one. Roger, I'm sorry, I can't think of the name of it. About air disaster, I can't remember. Mm-hmm. But that one was very good too. I had very little to do with that one. But okay. Then there was his first film was Water Walk.
Okay.
And Water Walk is the story from a book again. Adapted from a book about a father and son who take, Lafayette and Joliet's canoe trip.
Okay.
From down all the way through Michigan and down through down through the Mississippi and some. So,
what do you find unique or special about filming in Muskegon and working with the cast from Muskegon?
Well, one of the things that is very unique about Muskegon is we can pretty much create a lot of different places that aren't Muskegon in Muskegon.
Okay.
Now, people in Muskegon know that they're in Muskegon, you know, because they're close. Sure. But I mean, when you think about it, this is what Hollywood does too. You know, I mean, you know, you look back at any old television show, it's either on a set or it's, you know, in the desert in California is where they filmed it. And they're calling it, you know, Vietnam or something, you know. So, but that's one of the things. And then I've worked with all of these actors for 26 years around here. So I feel pretty comfortable casting people.
So I'm going to ask each this question. How did you, what made you get into directing, into plays as well as movies? What's your appetite early on that this is something you wanted to do?
When I was in the seventh grade, when I first did my first, it wasn't even a play. It was just singing a song from a play. It was from South Pacific. And I was in a choir. And then all of a sudden I went into high school and I acted in high school and everything. I went to college to become a teacher of mathematics or physics.
Okay.
And this is back in the 70s. So school was much cheaper then. So I did the 7-year plan, which is 5 majors, starting out with the physics, math, and ending up in theater. Okay. And then I started working and doing theater and both in the community. And then I worked for Indiana State University for 14 years.
Okay.
And it was in the entertainment. It was in Hallman Center, the home of Larry Bird.
Oh,
you might have heard of
him. Yeah, I've heard of that guy, yeah.
But so I did a lot of rock concerts and worked on backstage and stuff. It was a lot of fun.
All right. How about for you?
Oh, well for me, I would say early in elementary school, my mom kind of forced me into performing because I've always been rather shy and bashful. Okay. So she kind of pushed me in that direction. Uh-huh. But honestly, probably high school when I did Lean on Me,
okay.
I had a small role in that, and it kind of got the bug flowing. But I was away and lived in California for some time.
Okay.
So I kind of randomly walked on movie sets and different things they would pull me aside to do. And when I came back here, they had a casting call for Raising in the Sun.
Mm-hmm.
And that was my first time actually participating in theater and being a part of a real production and seeing how, you know, how things are, you know, how theater goes.
Okay.
And Kurt was part of that first production. So.
Okay.
That's how we met.
Okay, good. What's next for you? I know we're just getting to this, but have you started thinking about? I know you have. What you started talking about? What's next? Or got some ideas? Some
direction? Yeah. I think where we are in today's society causes us to think about a lot. So we have a number of possibilities we're looking at right now.
Well, make sure you let us know. We can.
Yeah, we got to decide which ones.
Yeah. How about for you? What's next for you?
As far as the movies go, or just in general?
How as far as the movies, theater?
Oh, okay. Well, right now I don't have anything planned. I kind of plan it by ear.
Okay.
But I'm into a lot of different things. I have a plethora of things I do if I'm not doing theater.
Okay.
And at the moment, I'm actually training to participate in bodybuilding competition.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there's a competition that I'm doing in Grand Rapids in September on the 13th. It's for an organization called the OCB.
Okay.
It's all natural. So I'm into the fitness and health aspect.
Okay.
So I'm participating in that. And hopefully there's some plays or some theater or some more movies lined up in the future.
Cool. All right. Sounds good. Let's tell folks again, the movie is called Old Heart. 60 years later, can he find love again? You know, my dad was in World War II, you know, and we've got some, I got a picture at home of his discharge.
Okay.
And there's it looks like a scene from like a movie. It's like a bunch of black soldiers sitting around a table. My father didn't drink, so there's like all kind of alcohol on the table.
Yeah.
And there's, you know, they're in uniform. There's some women sitting there. And I always thought about, I should put it on Facebook to see if anybody knows any of these people. On the back, it just says San Antonio, 1945. He was discharged. But just just a fascinating photograph. You know,
yeah.
Movies like A Soldier Story, it makes me think of that.
Yes.
The uniform, you know. And, but I'll say my dad was in World War II. And I always tell people the movie Saving Private Ryan, you know.
Yeah.
But he and all his brothers served at the same time. And I've got a letter where they had written to the federal government to get support for his mother, who was divorced, and they denied her assistance.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so I say, yeah, you know, there's a Saving Private Ryan story. Then there's my grandmother, who's all her sons are off of war and got no support from the federal government.
Yeah, one of the inequality and things that were going on during the war was actually quite amazingly horrible.
Yeah. So it's interesting to kind of have a, you know, getting where you change that character to be African-American.
Yeah.
It just kind of brings a whole different perspective to the war and that experience of being overseas, I'm sure.
Yeah. Well, when you think the armed services weren't desegregated until 1948,
right.
After the war was already on.
Yeah. It's like, thanks for your help. Go back home.
Yeah.
Which is the fact what happened to my daddy. Went back to Louisiana and after the war, and it didn't work out so well. So
yeah.
He ended up coming back to Michigan. But the movie's, I sidetracked you. The movie is called Old Heart.
Yes.
It's going to be at Mona Shores High School Sunday.
This coming Sunday, yeah.
Okay.
And that's at 3 p.m.
Okay.
And you can get tickets online. Yes. And then if you bring a minor, they're free. Because young people should learn about the war and what was going on.
Yes, they should. And if they miss it Sunday,
then they can go to the Wealthy Theater in Grand Rapids the following Sunday at 3 p.m. The same, everything else, same apply.
Oh.
Adult buys a ticket, you can bring in a minor. So.
Okay. And will you all be at? Will you be at the?
We'll be at both. I'll be at both.
Will there be an opportunity to meet with somebody?
Yes. Yeah. We'll have a little talk back afterwards.
That's always cool too. Fun to talk to folks and engage with some of the folks who are in the movie.
All right.
Good. So some of your family here in Muskegon gonna.
Absolutely.
Be there.
My family's going to be there. And actually, my family member, my brother, is actually a part of the film as well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he's a part of the film, and he actually is a veteran himself.
And I didn't mention him.
No.
Hey, you know, I don't have to mention him.
His family is a part of it as well. So, my family, of course, they're going to come support.
Yeah. Okay. That'll be kind of fun, I'm sure.
It's fun.
It's good and some funny things.
Make fun of us on the screen.
Good. Yeah, well, it's an exciting project, and we're glad to be able to talk about it here on the radio. Anything else? I got here a little late today. Anything else that I didn't ask you about? We want to cover in terms of the movie and
probably, but I don't know when it was. So.
You mentioned again. I see the little thing here. You've shown this movie in some other places. You mentioned Indianapolis.
Yeah, Indianapolis, Chicago. L.A.
Okay.
In fact, we won an award in L.A.
That's what I was going to ask. What was the award?
Best Feature Adapted Screenplay.
Okay.
At the Marina Del Rey Film Festival.
That's a big deal.
Yes, it is. Yeah. And we'll be in more festivals.
Okay.
We're hoping that really does something for us. Because
Have you gotten, I hate to call it, you know, any feedback from some of the big wigs who seem to, I'm using air quotes. This is probably a terrible thing to do on radio, right? Yeah. But have you gotten any feedback, any reviews? I guess that's probably what I want to say.
Chicago Tribune. I think that's pretty big. Stunning story, compelling.
Yes.
Entertaining. And I mean, we've gotten some very good reviews from a lot of people.
Yeah.
We were very lucky to do what we did, especially with the editing and the sound and the music, with the level of talent that did that for us, we got a really good deal.
Okay. Well, some of the cast from the Netherlands, have they been over here?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Ava, our lead, our young female lead, Ava, we flew her in. And she was one of the people that didn't meet anybody because she met Jamel, and that was it. It was like those two the whole time, and that was it. And because we shot her for, I think, 12 days, I think.
Okay.
So then we flew her back in for the both of the premieres. Uh-huh. And she was like, who are you?
That's what.
She's a nice lady, though. It was nice to finally meet her and, uh-huh, you know, let her know about her work and congratulate her. Yeah. Knowing such a good job she did.
Okay. Yeah. It was fun. And that was the first time, too, at that she got to meet her older counterpart.
Oh, that's probably got to be kind of surreal.
So, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So, was there a plan to go and show it in the Netherlands?
Yes. Yes, that is. We have dates scheduled. We have three showings scheduled in the Netherlands. We're currently working on the closed captioning. Just the straight English closed captioning, and then that will be transferred by the Dutch into the Dutch closed captioning, so that when they show it there, that it would be there.
I'm sure I'll be interested even to see how it was received there and what the feedback's like there versus here.
Yeah, we're very pleased because it's a tough nut to crack to get in there. They're very, how can you tell us a story about Dutch or about the Netherlands?
Okay.
You've met Dutch people around here. That's for sure. And so, you know, they're a little stubborn and things
like
that.
A little bit, yeah.
So there's that little bit. But so far we've gotten in. So there's an interest in that. We're feeling very good, very good. Grateful about it too.
Yeah. Folks, the movie is called Old Heart. Tell you what, Sunday afternoon, why don't you, if you got some time, or make some time, you can go out to Mona Shores High School. I think you'll have a wonderful experience, have some delightful guests here, and some folks you may recognize there in the cast. And if for some reason you don't make it Sunday, you got another chance on the 17th, again at 3 p.m. at the Wealthy Theater. And bring your kids. They can be fun and educational. They can learn a little bit about World War II, and it's an exciting and interesting love story.
Yeah, it is.
Good. I want to thank you all so much for joining us today. I hope that we'll be able to help get this information out about a tremendous project, and hope you have the high school and the theater packed the coming showings.
Thank you very much for having us.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Folks, this has been Community Focus. Again, continue to send out your prayers and best wishes to my brother, Gregory T. You know, he likes to end the show with a closing thought, so he likes to tell you all, it really doesn't cost you anything to go out and be a blessing to other people. So let's be intentional about it. Don't be a blessing by accident or circumstance. Set your heart and your mind to be a blessing to somebody else. It'll make your day better, and it'll make their day better. This has been Community Focus. I am Melvin Burns. We'll see you next week.